Scanning. Identity authorized. Welcome to the Secret Superhero Club Podcast Network.
Hear you lead today and enter the world of Hilt Radio. We'll take you on an epic journey through the magic of all things Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars, from the movies to the box and everything in between. It's time to take you to Disney and beyond with your hosts, Brittany and Liam DeCosimo.
And Mommy too.
Welcome back to another episode of Hilt Radio. It's Hear You Lead Today and enter a world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy. As we take you on an epic adventure of all things House of Mouse, the House of Ideas, in a galaxy far, far away. And your guides on this adventure are myself, your host, Liam.
I'm Brittany.
And oh my gosh, Limo.
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 What's
it's
up?
It's great to see you.
I know, it's been so long.
I know.
It's been a second.
So long, I shouldn't have left you.
Without a dope beat to step two.
So anyways, we're going to go. Welcome back to another episode, and we're excited to talk to you guys about the things and the stuff. The Disney things.
What happened?
The Marvel stuff. The Star Wars stuff.
I thought you were just pausing for...
dramatic effect.
Dramatic effect. It's very dramatic.
This is true. So, B, you want to give us a rundown on the Disney? No? From there, I can't read
anything that's happening in the Disney's verse at all.
Well, what was a teaser trailer that we recently watched?
None.
She's really straightening.
Oh, Onward.
There you go. You got it.
Yeah. Okay. This is the smallest writing of all writings. Well, I'm used to this big 55-inch TV.
Well, no, there's a 49.
Oh, 49-inch TV.
Don't oversell it.
That was showing us the news, and now we're down to this wimpy old computer.
Like a 27-inch monitor. Yeah.
Monitor.
Moving down in the world.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about Disney Pixar and the release of the Onward teaser trailer. Walt Disney Archives presents Heroes and Villains, the Art of the Disney Costume at D23, and Netflix may see the return of many Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars films in 2026.
Nice. In the world of Marvel, we've got WandaVision that will explore her reality-warping powers and possibly have a 50s vibe. And then to go along with that, there's also the logo and the still photos for the Disney Plus series Loki, which were shown at a shareholders meeting recently. Keanu Reeves is in negotiation for a role in The Eternals, which would see him join Angelina Jolie and Richard Madden. And then finally, Square Enix has revealed the Avengers footage at E3, which is the reason why this episode's a day late.
Because of all... I guess they showed Jedi Fallen Order a while ago, didn't they?
Well, we saw just brief snippets, but we actually got the teaser trailer yesterday. A little bit of game footage yesterday, but we got the actual teaser trailer today.
Gotcha. So that's happening in the Star Wars world.
That's true. Also from E3, we saw the Lego Star Wars that will combine all 9 films into a new game called The Skywalker Saga. And then finally, Limited Run Games will be re-releasing more than a dozen titles across multiple platforms of some of our favorite LucasArts games. So we'll have all of this and more on this episode of Hilt Radio. But as always, we're going to dive headfirst into our adventures. So T1, take us on in.
Prepare for adventures in fandom.
So we didn't get to cover everything that we did, not this previous weekend, but the one prior when we were in Disneyland, because we really wanted to devote that entire episode solely to Galaxy's Edge. Because let's be honest, that was kind of the highlight of the trip. But there were a couple other things that we actually got to do that I thought, one, it was something new. And then two, I thought were actually a must-have for anybody that's planning on going to visit the parks within the next couple of weeks. So, you know, for those that have your Galaxy's Edge reservations, that's only 4 hours out of your trip. You still have a whole bunch of hours to take care of throughout the day. So why not try to enjoy some of these things?
Unless you're Jared, and then you get to go all the time.
Yes, you're just constantly in. Did they hire him?
He can't help it that he's so popular, but everybody wants to take him to Galaxy's Edge.
Right? I'm about to say, I want to say every day, and he's in new outfits, so it's not like a whole lot of pictures.
I don't know.
That
he might be doing the influencer thing and changing his outfit in those Batuu restrooms.
This is true. They are very fancy restrooms. So. But no, a couple of things that we got to do. You wanted to try out the churro toffee that had at Trolley Treats.
Yes. So churro toffee has been on my radar for quite some time now since it has come out. I feel like sometime last year. And we forget every time. And then when we finally remember, it's sold out. It's never in there. And finally, we just happened to be on Buena Vista Street.
We started our day there, right? Wasn't that what it was? We started our day in California Adventure, and like you immediately were like, "We're going this way," and I was we were just looking
at the suites, and there was a huge tray full, like every cart was full of churro toffee. And I was like, "Oh, they have it. We have to go get it now because we've learned our lesson that if we want something, get it."
Yeah, don't wait.
Don't wait because it could be sold out within minutes, hours, that day, whatever. When you go back to it, it's probably not going to be there anymore. So if you want something, just do it. When you're winning Disney, just do it.
Right. So Trolley Treats, for those that don't know, is actually, as you're walking down Buena Vista Street into California Adventure, it's on the right-hand side, pretty much in the same building as Starbucks. It's kind of like that. I mean, you can see Starbucks from
that
area.
So you can get your treat and then go get your coffee.
Or vice versa. Well, whatever. Treats first.
Always treat first. Finish them before you even get your coffee and then go buy more treats because you need it with coffee.
I need one to eat now while I'm waiting in line, one to eat while I am Instagramming my coffee, and then one to dip into my coffee and eat.
It's the same rule for fries. You need fries for the trip home, and then you also need fries to eat with your burger when you're home.
Pretty much.
That's just how it works.
Yes, this is what we do it in now.
Uh-huh. This is true.
But yeah, I was actually pleasantly surprised. I mean, it sounded good. I love toffee.
Yes, like, there's, me too. You
know, the Anglophile in me loves toffee, but the churro dusting that it had on it just absolutely complimented it. Yeah. We were done, I absolutely wanted to get more, but I was
$6 a square.
Yeah, it was pricey.
I saw somebody's photo. I imagine they were with friends and they all bought some, but they had like a huge stack. And I, of course, the frugal person in me went and I counted each square to see how much it cost. And I feel like it came out to like 40 something bucks.
That's insane.
I was like, what? What? It was like 60 something bucks. And I was this is so crazy. Anywho, there's a lot of churro toffee there, but it's really good. It's been pretty popular for a while now, so most of you probably have already tried it. But if you have not, and like Liam said, if you're going the next couple weeks for Galaxy's Edge, head over to DCA. That's where I know they usually have it. I don't know if they have it on Main Street in Disneyland.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It might just be a DCA thing, but I could be wrong, so definitely check both sweet shops just in case, because we didn't see it when we went, but it was later in the day. It could have been sold out.
At the Jolly Holiday?
Not Jolly Holiday, but the
little candy shop that's next to it.
Yeah, what is it called? We should know these things. It'll come to us eventually.
I always think it was at the Coca-Cola little chandelier.
Yeah, it's next to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anywho. But also, that was delicious and worth it.
But also, while you guys are hanging out in California Adventure, if you make your way over to Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout, in the Tenelier Tavan's gift shop area, if you will, they actually have built I guess it's like an Avengers Build Your Own Infinity Gauntlet type thing.
Yeah. Build Your Own Gauntlet, close to Build Your Own Lightsaber over in Star Traders.
I mean, far less pieces, but no less enjoyable.
Very cool.
It's very cool. They have, basically, it's a gauntlet, like a little wrist gauntlet, similar to like a Buzz Lightyear one or the Tony Stark Iron Man bubble wand. Yeah, where you kind of grip it and there's a button that you could press and it makes noises and lights up. A little light bulb that blinks. But what was really cool about this? Laser envy. What's cool is that you can outfit it. There's three different pieces that clip to the top part of it. And the first piece that you select is basically your voice piece. So if you select Spider-Man, when you press the button, he's going to be, you'll hear Spider-Man talking. Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, each one of them, depending on what you choose. The second plate and third plate are kind of just cosmetic. They have no real impact on what is done with the gauntlet itself. The last piece, and you don't have to get it. They try to bill it as though it's an extra, but let's be honest, like, you're going to get the launcher. I mean, you're not going to pay $24.99 and not have it be able to shoot things at people. Mm-hmm. So you'll pay the extra $15. It ends up being, you know, $40 altogether, but you can get a launcher, and same thing. There's a Spider-Man, Iron Man, Hulk, and Captain America. So we built one for Chris Ramo, which we have not sent out yet.
No, we should send out like ASAP.
Yes, we need to send that out because I know he's excited for it. But we built an all Captain America one for him because for people that don't know, he's a huge Captain America, yes. Not just a fan, but also a collector.
Yeah.
And he has an Instagram. It's like Cap Collector One or something that you can actually see all of the really cool Captain America things that he's collected throughout the years. So shout out Chris Ramo. If
and
you
I want to say
Chris Ramo art.
Are even named after, or one of the kids is named after. I feel like it's like Evan or something.
It's Evan and Ollie, right?
Yes. Evan. So one of them was named after Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. So we made one for him, but Remy, of course, wanted to make one. And at first, he was going to kind of do a mix and match. I feel like
Cap Collector 41 is you can follow him there and see his little fun cap collection. Not little, but
quite
see
extensive.
His awesome cap collection.
But Remy went into it initially thinking that he wanted to kind of mix and match like Iron Man and Spider-Man. Ended up building the entire gauntlet was all Spider-Man, including the launcher. And then at the last minute, because I was playing with the other launchers just to see what they looked like, because when you press them, they actually like separate apart to reveal the launching mechanism, which I thought was really cool. Otherwise, they're just like a circular disc.
Right.
But once I showed him Iron Man, then he switched his mind. He put the Spider-Man one back. Launcher and then got the Iron Man. So it was all Spider-Man shell pieces on the gauntlet and then the Iron Man one, which I firmly believe that the Iron Man one was the coolest out of all the launchers. The Captain America for me was a close second, but the Iron Man one was
just because it looks like a shield. It's pretty awesome.
It is. It's super dope. So we bought that one. They give you the darts once you purchase it. And then, you know, Remy played with it. And then the next day, he wanted another launcher because I told him that I thought I really liked the Captain America one, was thinking about building one myself. Mm-hmm. Then I reconsidered the $40 price tag. And Remy was very let down that I was not going to build my own gauntlet.
He's like, really? We can't run through the house and shoot each other?
Pretty
Come
much.
Come on, Dad.
We do that all the time anyways.
That's true.
But luckily, the employee that was kind of guarding the assistant, if you will, that was in front of the area, she had told us that you can buy just the launcher for $15.
Right.
So we were like, all right, well, let's just go back, let him pick another launcher. And he wanted Hulk for some reason, got there, and then changed his mind to Spider-Man. So got the Spider-Man one, got to the register, and the... It was like a manager.
Definitely a manager.
Yeah, because they were wearing just like the button down. And he was like, oh, well, you have to buy the whole thing. And we're like, no, the employee had told us we could buy just the launcher. And he was like, oh, there's the button.
Yeah.
And he pressed it. And he was like, there you go. Are you an annual pass holder?
Yes.
So, and I think it ended up being like $12 or whatever after your
right.
Discount. But yeah, it was interesting because it wasn't the first time that we had asked to purchase something.
Mm-hmm.
And
were
told.
And they were confused.
Yeah, oh, you can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah,
like,
and then they
were
like, oh,
we
wait.
Know we can because it's been done before or another cast member has told us we could.
Yeah. So they, if somebody tells you no, tell
I
them
would
to double check.
Check.
Just double check. Not to be a jerk, but just be like, oh, can you double check just in case? Because I was told by this person.
Yes.
I mean, probably don't blame us for it. Like, oh, well, a podcast told me that they were able to do it.
I mean, you can if you want to. It's not like we're credible or anything.
Right.
But,
well, but it may be a policy that changes in time, but at least.
There is a button for
it. At least in the meantime, we were able to purchase it. Moving over into Disneyland, we actually ate at the Hungry Bear because they have an Impossible Burger. So
right.
we had gotten the Impossible meat in our Kefka meatball thing that was part of the Galaxy's Edge meal, the Folution garden spread.
Right.
We had also tried the Impossible meatballs
from
the meatball sub that they had available a couple months ago.
Before this one.
Yep. Over at Paradise Pier, the Paradise Grill that's over on Paradise Pier.
Yeah.
And then,
I don't think that's there anymore.
No. Well, it's a seasonal thing. They always
right.
change it. So with this one, we were excited to do the burger at Hungry Bear. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't blow my mind the same way that like the Folution Garden spread
did
or the meatball sub
did. Did you get the spread on it, though? Because it's vegan.
I did.
Did you leave it? You didn't leave it the way it was. Or you did?
Yeah,
did
I did.
You get the vegan cheese and the vegan spread?
I got the vegan cheese and the garlic aioli vegan spread or whatever that it was. I liked it.
Oh, good.
But it was. I don't know. This feels stupid saying it, but the Carl's Jr. Beyond Burger is better.
Yeah. Well,
I would rather get that. But then again, even that I'd modify because I don't get it with the mayonnaise and the spread. I get it with barbecue sauce. So.
Right. And for me, I modified this one because I'm very picky when it comes to sauces.
And
so,
vegan cheese. You are not
and
a
vegan
fan.
Yeah. I still have not found a vegan cheese that I'm in love with yet.
You got a Veganrella.
I don't know. Come on, guys. Come on, vegans. Let me know. What is the vegan cheese that is to die for that will make me consider.
Probably the Daya cheese, or Daya, or whatever it is.
Oh, literally to die for. To die for. No, it's not. It's not the business. It's good on
pizzas.
Like the frozen pizzas are good, but they're not like enough to be like, I would put this cheese on everything.
Right.
Because that's kind of what I do. Put cheese on everything. So I need a vegan cheese that will make me go vegan. And then, therefore, I shall be vegan. But until then, sorry, animals. You're still going to be tortured for some cheese for me.
You're going to suffer.
Anywho, so I modified it, left the sauce off, barbecue sauce instead, and put, I think, American cheese or whatever cheese they had available.
How would you stack it up against other vegan and vegetarian burgers you've had?
I prefer black bean burgers. And griller-style burgers are not my favorite, but Carl's Jr. is probably the best one I've had, and it's been the closest to. This one, obviously, being the same. No, because it's impossible. That one's Beyond, right? Yep. This one is very similar, I want to say, to the Beyond Burger at Carl's Jr.
Yeah.
So texture and everything else, like, it's kind of creepy. Like, guys, you can do this. You can eat a burger and want that texture and that taste. It's there. I promise you. I've only been vegetarian for a few months now, I think since October. So it's like, I know what a burger, and I can remember what a burger tastes and feels like. And these are eerily close that sometimes even I have to like really look at it and make sure like there's no nerve endings in the burger just to be sure that they didn't give me a real patty. That's how creepy it is. But for me, Hungry Bear has never been like a wow place.
Right.
Like, we go there occasionally, like when you were in the mood for some sort of sandwich or burger that was available there for you, and I would just get the regular burger. And even then, having the regular burger there was never like a, this is amazing. It's just kind of a burger. It's kind of like Tomorrowland Grill. Their burgers are the same. Like, they're like, okay, it's a burger. Cool.
Oh,
I've had way better.
Well, now the Tomorrowland one, they don't even do the burger anymore. They do the wrap.
They do a wrap. Yeah.
So I would say, in Disneyland, my favorite place, now that they've removed our gumbo, the vegetarian gumbo, for me, it's Jolly Holiday. Going and get the grilled cheese and tomato bisque. And like, that's the,
always
that's
the a winner. Go-to.
Oh, yeah. We get it every trip now.
I'm just kind of bummed that it's now the hot season, because the only time we'll want to get it is when at it's night. Either at late at night
it's
or early in the morning before it gets to those hotter temperatures, because that bisque doesn't always sound appetizing, but you need it with that grilled cheese because it's so good.
Yeah,
I gotta learn.
Delicious.
I gotta learn that recipe because it's freaking delicious. We're gonna find out that it's not vegetarian,
and then, screwed.
And then we're gonna cry.
Last bit of activities that we undertook in Disneyland. They have a Toy Story 4 preview in the Tomorrowland theater, if you will. It's pretty much like the first 10 to 15 minutes of the movie.
And then like a few extra tidbits that you probably have seen on
like trailers. And teasers. Yeah.
But yeah, the first 10 minutes of, well, we're guessing the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
It, at least it played out that way. It is a must-see.
Yes.
For
it,
sure.
It tees up what happened to Bo Peep.
Oh my gosh.
That's basically what, and it gives, it names the sheep, which was friggin' amazing.
Oh yeah. It names the sheep. What else?
We won't spoil it because it's super funny how they reveal the names.
They might have mentioned it on a trailer now. So I think it's out there. I feel like on Disney Channel it's out there.
That it's out there, yeah.
Yeah, because all the little, the kids are at Disney World. We're looking at the Toy Story 4 trailer and they're like, oh, the goats are, or the sheep are so cute.
Yeah.
Because I kind of just gave it away.
Fair enough. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, it had me totally built up already, and that was just in the very beginning. So
you're gonna cry, guys.
Oh, a lot of
we're
times.
Gonna be so emotional in this one. And from the reviews so far, everybody has been raving about it.
Oh, I believe it.
So they've been raving about it. They've been, because a few lucky influencers have got to see the film, of course, before everybody else. Because why not? And
we'll
they keep saying that Pixar keeps one-upping themselves, and that this one does not let you down.
Nice.
So I have complete faith in Pixar, though. They're really good about giving us hit after hit. Even if it's a sequel, it might not be like the best movie ever, but it's still an amazing film for what they give you, you know?
non-Disneyland related news, but still technically Disney news. We saw Dark Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
So we went and saw that on Friday, like matinee time. Took Remy with us, so it was the three of us. He kept telling me X-Men is so good. I love X-Men. He was telling me that through the film. We came home and started watching all of our animated series, burned DVDs
that we bought series.
Years ago.
Oh, yeah.
So it definitely put us on an X-Men kick. I enjoyed the movie. Yeah, I think people have been very quick to put it on blast.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's perfect. By all means, it's not a perfect movie. But I didn't walk out of there being let down. I didn't walk out of there like, this was not enjoyable.
That's my feeling for all of the Fox X-Men films.
Agreed.
I feel like everybody just hates on them so much. And I don't know why. It's like, hey, at least we're getting X-Men films.
See, and the problem I'm having with Twitter is a lot of people I follow, there's people that are huge Spider-Man fans, there are people that are X-Men fans, and then there are people that are Marvel fans, and then some people that are like DC or just superhero fans in general. They all bicker.
Every
Spider-Man fan that I follow, or not everyone, but a bunch of them, like, all they are complaining about Far From Home and like, this. Now everybody's big kick is that they're trying to say that Peter Parker's not Jewish, even though there's multiple parts in the comics where he says either, you know, Yiddish words or like references having some sort of tie to like a Jewish household. And then there's other strips where he straight up says, I'm not even Jewish. So there's like this whole debate, which is obnoxious as heck. There's the X-Men fans saying that people are only hating on X-Men because they're so stuck on everything that Disney does. Unless Disney does it, that they don't care. And everybody is all on Kevin Feige as though he's God. And then the MCU people, all they're doing is bashing X-Men, saying like, oh, I can't wait till this is the MCU because nothing that Fox has done has been good except for Logan and Deadpool. And it's like, no, man, like, I loved all the X-Men movies. Like, even Last Stand, I didn't hate it when I walked out of there. Like, I loved it because it was an X-Men movie.
Exactly.
You know, like, yeah, there are certain things that I definitely would have done different in the Fox universe than what they did. But I'm not the one making the movies. I'm the one paying the tickets, paying for the ticket to be able to go and enjoy seeing my favorite superhero team brought to life on the big screen.
Mm-hmm. And they're not horrible. And that's the thing, is that people play them up so badly on, like, social media about them being just these awful films. And it's like, what movie were you watching? We got to go into these movies with open minds.
Yes.
With, you know, the possibility that they could sway you into liking these films if for some reason you don't. And I think everybody goes in just, nope, I know I don't like the past movies, or I've read something on social media, so now I can't like it. And I'm not saying that's what everybody does. You know, we all have our own minds. We do think our own way. But I think we are very easily swayed when we read something negative online. Immediately that puts that taste in our mouth. And then we go into it with, you know, awful opinions of it.
They're like somebody we've had on this show, like, put out into the universe, like, basically, I haven't seen this movie, but I've heard that everybody hates it and it sucks, so don't go see it. And I'm like, haven't even seen it.
That's
like,
awful.
How are you going to put out there that you have an opinion on a movie you haven't even seen?
You can't do that. Like, that's just, ugh, no.
It's aggravating as an X-Men fan, as a Marvel fan, because we should not be bickering amongst ourselves. We should be excited and supportive just because it's Marvel. Like, if you're a Marvel fan and you're a fan of Stan Lee and everything that he created, like, this is his creation.
Like, he is still producers on these films, or was. And he, you know, he helped with them and had a say in somewhat, you know. And if he's okay with putting that out there, or was okay with putting that out there, gosh, guys, come on. Let's stop arguing about the dumbest things and just be proud that we live in a time that we are getting so much of this stuff.
Yeah, that we get to pick and choose which ones that we do enjoy.
You don't have to like them. You definitely don't.
Oh, 100%.
But stop starting petitions. Stop griping about things. Like, this is like the biggest thing in your life. If you have that much anger towards something, go and look up something that probably needs that anger. Go sign a petition for something that, I don't know, the earth that needs some love in right now. Humanity that we kind of need to give each other some love. Stop hating each other. It's just,
So my suggestion is, if you are a fan of X-Men, you are a fan of the X-Men movies, you will enjoy this film. If you are not a fan of the X-Men movies, yeah, you're probably not going to like this. Mm-hmm. If you go into this with a very closed mind, then yeah, you are going to walk out of this movie right. with a closed mind. But if you go in just looking to have a good time, if you like Michael Fassbender as Magneto and you like James McAvoy as Professor X, you're going to love it because the two of them kill it in this movie.
Yes, every time. I think they all do, though.
Yeah,
I love Nightcrawler. I love Quicksilver. I wish there was more Quicksilver.
I always wish there was more
Quicksilver. But he makes me appreciate the last films that we got with him because he was awesome in that movie. Yeah, I think that's my only complaint is that there wasn't enough Quicksilver.
Yep, agreed. Perfect. Well, we went long in the tooth on the adventures.
That's what we usually do.
Let's dive into some news then.
Scanning. Here's what's going on around the galaxy.
Okay, so in the Disney world, while we were down in Disney, they released the Pixar Onward trailer, I feel like.
Yeah.
Right? Because we didn't get to really spend a lot of time on it, talk about it. So we finally got to it because, hey, we're super pumped for a new Pixar film that is an original, not a sequel. We've kind of been in this sequel and trilogy realm for a long time.
True. Well, because you got to figure like Incredibles and Finding Dory, like all that's been Cars 3.
Oh,
like,
Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4.
That's a not a trilogy. That's a
quadrilogy.
Quadrilogy.
but that's honestly what the last original Pixar film we got was Good Dinosaur, right?
No way.
Yeah.
Because
since then, it's been Finding Dory.
Inside Out came out after Good Dinosaur, didn't it? Didn't Good Dinosaur come out first?
I don't know. I'd have to check.
Oh, maybe they were switched. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because
then you figure, because Good Dinosaur, but even then, Inside Out would have been the only other one. Because
right, Finding Dory,
Cars 3, Incredibles 2, now Toy Story 4. Like, yeah, it's all been sequels and whatnot.
All right. So we're ready for this original film. And more so because, I don't know, it has two awesome Marvel alumni that are voicing. Who are they?
Ian Lightfoot is Tom Holland, awesome. And then Chris Pratt will be Barley Lightfoot.
So that's fun.
His older brother. And then Julia Louis-Dreyfus is the mom. And then Octavia Spencer is in an unnamed role.
Interesting. Well, we shall find out. We don't know much about the film other than what they have released from Pixar, saying that this film is set in a suburban fantasy world. Disney Pixar's Onward introduces two teenage elf brothers who embark on an extraordinary quest to discover if there is still a little magic left out there.
Nice. Well, with the two of them, I guarantee you there was magic.
I wonder why. Like, why do they need to go discover magic? Obviously, we see, and if you haven't checked it out, go look it up, the Onward trailer, because it shows that they're obviously living in a suburban world where technology has taken over their land, too. You see the mermaid in the pool looking at her phone, and you're like, technology is even in the fantasy world.
And it's not even like a pool. Isn't she like
in a
little
blow?
Yeah, a little.
Well, because they
no
longer have to frolic in the seas anymore.
Yeah.
They also want to live normal suburban lives. No, go live in the ocean.
I love that the unicorns are like stray dogs, basically.
Yeah. Well, they're like stray dogs, rats, kangaroos, whatever you have a lot of in places that you don't want a lot
that
of.
That get into the garbage. Yes.
Raccoons.
There you go. They're like raccoons. They're
like kissing at him. Like,
that's
awesome.
So
yes. Way to turn those unicorns into horrible creatures.
Visually, it looks great. The storyline sounds like a lot of fun, but I was thrown off a little bit because the animation style reminds me of like DreamWorks.
It
doesn't look like a Pixar film to me.
And I don't know if it's just because of the story that they're going after, like maybe the whole trolls.
That feels more their
fantasy
realm.
Yeah. You know, like we're used to trolls and Shrek style and I can't think of other DreamWorks, Imagination, all those company movies. But I get it. I totally understand. For me, it was the troll aspect of it that kind of took me to the DreamWorks or that another style, not Pixar. Pixar usually has a very distinct look, and which is very, very close to Disney now. I think Disney and Pixar have blended a lot where they're kind of like getting harder and harder to tell each other apart.
Think about how many times I've mistaken Wreck-It Ralph as a Pixar film.
Right, and and I feel like Big Hero 6 was one of them one. As yeah. well. So, like, those, I don't know, it's something about, like, the companies being under the same umbrella, I guess, now. But I've never looked at a Pixar film and thought, like, DreamWorks, you know? So yep. that's kind of like, I'm not saying DreamWorks is awful. It's just we are used to Pixar and Disney looking a certain way and feeling a certain way. And the fact that this one is kind of like, wow, that could have been a DreamWorks film.
But yeah.
I think it's going to blow our minds once we get more from it. Knowing Tom Holland and Chris Pratt are on board with of this film, I think we're going to be pumped.
Agreed.
And no, this I'm one excited for it. Is March 6, 2020, directed by Dan Scanlon.
Nice. Very exciting. So next little bit of news here. This actually is pertaining to D23 coming up this August, so right around your birthday, your bither day. Many happy returns of the day.
Yeah, I feel like it's, what, the 23rd through the 25th this year?
Yep. And the Walt Disney Archives is actually going to present Heroes and Villains, the Art of the Disney Costume at D23. So this is super impressive. They're going to have a bunch of different stuff on display. They've shown pictures of, like, Cinderella and Maleficent. What else? They've said that there's going to be costumes from, like, Hocus Pocus.
Awesome.
From back in 1992. So I'm kind of bummed that we're going to miss this. Or
well,
potentially we're going to miss this.
He keeps saying that because he thinks he's going to convince me to go.
Somehow.
You can go.
It's not the same.
And even if we do go, I will probably have to hang back at somebody's place, and then you can go enjoy the expo.
Yeah, by somebody's place, you mean the hospital, because we're going to be like within the last month of this baby being born.
I know. I'm too afraid to do that.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I love Disney and I don't want to miss out on the expo, I don't want anything to come up while we are out of town.
Especially because it happens on your birthday this year. That's such a bummer. But yeah, so Friday, August 23rd through Sunday, August 25th. But this is, to me, this looks really, really cool. There's also going to be a bunch of the fairy tale-ish stuff that they present on ABC's Once Upon a Time. Like I said before, the iridescent blue ground seen on Cinderella in the 2015 live-action film. I mean, you kind of can go in there, decide whether you team hero, team villain. Like, for you, which one would you be the most excited about?
To see?
Yeah.
I think I always like the more hero side of things.
The princessy dresses.
I do enjoy the princessy dresses, but they make really cool stuff for the villains. Like, the villains get to wear awesome things.
Yeah.
Like, probably more of my style would be villain style, but visually, I don't know. That's tough. I'm 50-50. I can't. Can't choose a side. Can't do it.
Nice.
Then I think about, like, Jasmine in the new live-action Aladdin, and everything she wore was amazing.
True.
Like, they really outdid themselves with her wardrobe.
And I could see you rocking pretty much everything that she has.
I love them all. I mean, Jasmine was, like, Jasmine and Pocahontas were like the original faves because, I mean, I don't know, they had brown skin, so I liked the way they looked.
You're like, I resonate with these characters.
Totally.
Which is funny because for me, like, I mean, obviously Aladdin is fairly light skinned, but I was never thinking like, oh, he's Arabic, like,
yeah,
or Muslim, like he wouldn't be my style, or like he's Indian or whatever. I literally looked at him as like, he's got black hair. I've got black hair.
Yeah, no, that's what you do. You find a way when you're a kid, you don't think about things like that because I look back to Snow White, Cinderella, Alice in Wonderland, anything that was back in the day, or princessy, or just any of the old fairy tales, they were all white.
Yeah.
And I never thought anything of that. I was like, I'm going to be all of them, and I will be all of them. And then Jasmine comes out, and I'm still so young when it happens, which I was just like, I'm going to be every single costume that she has for Halloween every year for the next 5 years, because that's just what I'm going to do. And you don't realize it until you're older when you look back at why did that sit with you, you know, the way it did. And it's like, right. Oh, well, because she was freaking brown skinned and I needed to be I had a Pocahontas tent. Like, all of my stuff was Jasmine and Pocahontas. It's like, well, I guess you do it subconsciously because we see it around us. But I never thought like, oh, I can't be Snow White. I can't be Cinderella.
Yeah.
Never thought that at all.
No.
And I hope that you don't teach your kids that they can't be that either, because they could be whoever the heck they want to be.
Well, I mean, I teach our kid that.
You're fired. You guys are never spending alone time together.
I just told him we'll probably never have a career in basketball. I was like, stick to boxing and soccer.
But all you're know what? At. He is going to be the next give me a basketball player name. Insert here. Thanks. It's possible.
I was like, you could have gone with like anybody.
Anybody I would have said is not relevant to today. Michael Jordan. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, there you go. Kobe's only been, retired for like 6 years, 7 years now, something like that.
Magic Johnson.
Yeah. Larry
Bird. Charles Barkley.
Karl Malone.
Anybody else in Space Jam?
Yeah, John Stockton. Muggsy Bogues.
Even Bill Murray.
Of course, Bill Murray. Nice. Anyway. So the last bit of Disney news that we got for you guys is pertains to Netflix, actually. So what's really interesting about this is that apparently many Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars films will be returning to Netflix potentially in 2026. So part of the contracts and the agreements that were laid out was that anything released, January of 2016 until... Was it April of 2018?
December of 2018.
Oh, December 18th, yeah. Or 2018.
Basically so the whole year.
So pretty much for 2 years solid, uh-huh. Anything released during that time frame was going to be still within the rights of Netflix to be able to stream. So a lot of these things will go to Disney Plus, but then eventually will revert back to Netflix for an undetermined amount of time. It might be for like a year, maybe for 2 years.
We don't know what was in the contract. 10 years.
Yeah, it just depends on what it was.
Let's hope it's not 10 years because that's a kind of a bummer, you know, when you have, I have all the films at my hands, you know, all the trilogies, all of the... Because you got to figure some of these films are Captain America Civil War. So yeah. That's already one of the films right out of the Captain America trilogy. It's gone. Doctor Strange, Infinity War, yep. Ant-Man and the Wasp, and then all basically the Disney Star Wars films, yep. All of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Any of the Star Wars films other than Episode 9 obviously will be released outside of that. But yeah, even Solo would still be contained within that. And then obviously all the Disney films that were released during that time as well. And if you guys can think back and remember, in 2016, Disney had a release in every single month. So every month throughout the year, so I want to say it was everything from, what was it? Was it Pete's Dragon came out that year?
Probably.
I want to say Zootopia came out that year. I mean, there was a ton of movies that came out in 2016. 2016
was a huge year.
So
every year has been the same.
But that one was the biggest out of all of them.
Because we weren't used to that.
No, not at all. So honestly, it's going to be really interesting to see how many of those movies do end up having to make that jump, or if Disney kind of fights this to try to retain those rights.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
They're in talks.
Yeah. But you got to figure with Warner Media on the horizon, NBC Universal's trying to set up their own streaming service.
Everybody.
So, yeah, everyone's going to have it.
Streaming service. And Netflix, bye-bye, cable.
Yeah, Netflix is basically going to just have, not just, but they'll have a lot of independent stuff, a lot of documentaries, and then they'll have all of their original content as well. So Netflix isn't going anywhere. Oh, I don't know why people think that it's like, oh, these things are the Netflix
killer.
We're
not going to get rid of it.
No,
not at
all.
There's way too much to enjoy on Netflix.
Well,
from Netflix alone,
yeah.
You know, their originals.
Well, Jared had reposted that Love, Death, and Robots got renewed for a second season.
You liked that.
I loved the first season. And it's an anthology series, you guys. So it's like each episode is completely different because it's all different artists and writers and directors and voiceover artists. But it is so eclectic in the way. Like some of it is very photorealistic in the way that it's animated, very 3D CGI animation. Other stuff is very flat 2D, like the one that I showed you that was like a bunch of farmers.
Oh, yeah.
That then are in mech droid out.
Very interesting.
Yeah, mechs, which is super rad. So, yeah, no, there was a lot of really cool stuff. I suggest you guys check it out. It is not suitable for children, though. So, definitely.
Even though it's animated.
Yeah, it's animated, but there's cursing and blood and gore and whatnot. So, yeah, I would say, I mean, it's Love, Death, and Robots. So,
in that, not suitable for Britney also.
No, I think you can handle it. I think you're just old enough to handle it.
All right.
But yeah, so that's going to be very interesting. I mean, on the plus side or the flip side of that, you got to figure that's 10 years removed. So I think for most part, a lot of people already own these movies, or like us, how we have them on Movies Anywhere.
Right. If you don't have the digital copy.
Yeah. If you didn't have a subscription to Netflix, you can still just watch the digital copies on your preferred viewing platform.
Right. I would hope that it doesn't put a damper on anybody wanting it. I mean, that is 7 years from now. Yeah. 2026.
Yeah, 2026.
And like you said, it's part of the exclusivity clause. So it would be that once they go back to Netflix, they have to leave Disney Plus.
Yep.
So you will not have them in both places anymore. You will only have them on Netflix if they can't figure it out. But I'm thinking they'll probably figure something out. If not, Netflix is probably going to get a pretty nice chunk of change from Disney. But Disney will probably weigh out the pros and cons of that.
Right. Well, especially after that loss, they just took on Dark Phoenix. So I guess we'll see. Perfect. I think that's all we had for Disney news. So kicking it off into the Marvel realm, because, you know, that's how we do. WandaVision will explore her reality warping powers, which I thought was really interesting because with kind of what they've done with Wanda so far with Scarlet Witch is they've really focused more on kind of like the telekinesis aspect of what she does. You know, her kind of doing the hand jive and moving things around and throwing vision through the earth.
And flying.
Right. All those fun things. But in the comic book, so much of her storylines, her arcs were really built around the reality aspect. You know, because if I remember correctly, it was like a... pardon me. She had like a... No, it's not probability. Maybe it is. Yeah, it's probability fields. So she warps the reality within those fields. It's kind of like how Domino has like luck. she changes the the probability as well. So there's kind of
Liam's trying not to die right now, guys.
Oh my gosh, this cough has been kicking my butt for months. Anyways, so I'm excited about this aspect because I do think that this may be a really good build towards, you know, like Avengers Disassembled, House of M. I mean, there's a lot of really cool story arcs that revolve around Scarlet Witch, but fall more to her reality warping powers as opposed to the telekinetic side of her abilities. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited that they are going to explore this. And I'm wondering if it is going to be the reason that Vision exists is because she has changed reality that he's not gone. Or at least, like, in her mind, he's not gone.
Yeah, that just makes me sad. And I don't know if I'm going to be okay with that. I kind of need a way that they find Vision to be back. So get on it, Marvel. Vision's got to be back. It's not going to be a fake thing living in Wanda's mind. And I'm just going to be okay with it.
But how crazy would it be if, like, they make it seem as though, oh, he's been rebuilt. Like, Bruce and Tony had figured it out. Or Bruce and Hank and somebody has figured it out, and then it like leads it to that, no, she has warped people's minds to think that Vision is still around.
That would be really trippy and really sad. And like I said, I'm already emotional about it. So sign me up. I'll be watching.
Yeah. Also, to piggyback off of that, the Loki series actually has... We've been shown a title card. So we know it's just going to be called Loki, not something as exciting as WandaVision. but with this one, we saw basically it's Loki kind of...
God of Mischief?
Yeah,
like, was that what they were going to call it?
Yeah, that would have worked. But you see him, and behind him is a movie theater with the lettering for Jaws, which looks like it was probably the original Jaws, like back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool that this is going to follow, as we had initially heard reports saying that it's going to be Loki kind of jumping through time, inserting himself into monumental events and kind of like how he messes it up or how he deals with certain things.
Or causes things to happen.
Exactly. So I think this is really interesting. It's an interesting concept because for those spoilers for Endgame, we see that he gets his hand on the Tesseract.
Yes.
Which the Tesseract is the space stone. So it allows him to travel through space,
but not time.
So I'm curious on how they're going to actually get that to work.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have Doctor Strange's time stone. So I don't know. I mean, I know smarter heads than me are the ones that are putting this together. But regardless, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're leaving that big of a
loophole
for us to... you know, cry about as we do.
Yeah, but it's been interesting because a lot of people had been complaining about that the logo was very plain.
Oh,
and I was kind of like, you guys, we're getting Loki again. Like, it's not we just said goodbye to Loki and we'll never see him. Like, this is an entire series devoted to probably one of the best villains, not just Marvel, but like all time. Mm-hmm. I freaking love Loki.
Totally. I mean, he's a villain after everybody's own heart. I mean, he's made people fall in love with him. So, yeah.
Which you never would have imagined from reading the comics. But sometimes and it's just hair, how he's portrayed.
Like, it should not be attractive, but it is.
Totally is.
He makes it work.
Work it, girl. But yeah, so both of those will be released on Disney Plus. I think as of right now, there was only one I think that was coming out with launch. And I want to say it's the Loki one.
Not Bucky and Falcon WandaVision.
I don't think so. I think both of those ones are the following
Well, that's the
year
only one we've seen
a title card for. Yeah,
well, other than what they've released for
Falcon and the Winter Soldier. With WandaVision. I think we've seen logos, but with Loki the first time, this is the first time we've seen a still.
Okay.
So I think that Loki is the first series that we
get. The works.
All right. So we'll see. Also going into more Marvel news. So Keanu Reeves, who is super popular again, and I think not just because of the John Wick films. I think it's also because people have realized that Keanu Reeves is not just an amazing actor, but an amazing person. At E3, he was on the stage doing the presentation for Cyberpunk 2077, mm-hmm. which looks phenomenal. And he's also in the game, rendered mm-hmm. in the game. But what's really cool is, or what was really sweet was he gets on stage and he talks about how the game is breathtaking, and then somebody in the audience shouts, "You're breathtaking!" And you can see Keanu Reeves like just
blush,
crack a grin, and then he goes, "No, you're breathtaking. Aww. You're all breathtaking." And
precious.
You just realize, like, he's the best. Keanu Reeves is absolutely the best. But it seems that he's actually in negotiations to potentially portray one of the Eternals. So Ooh. As I said before, we already know that Angelina Jolie has been tapped to play Cersei, and then Richard Madden supposedly is going to play Icarus. There have been multiple reports that Keanu Reeves could be playing a villain, he could be playing heroes. A lot of the one name that keeps popping up is Druig, who is more of a villain than anything else. So it'll be interesting to see him portray that role, but I highly suggest that you guys go in and if you have Marvel Unlimited, go and read some of the more recent Eternals comics and kind of familiarize yourself with those characters because it's actually a lot of fun.
Something I need to do. So that's exciting. I mean, I was already on board just because it's a Marvel film and then you or MCU film and then you get Angelina Jolie in there and now Keanu Reeves. Duke Kaboom is going to be in the MCU. I am okay with that.
Yeah, Toy Story 4.
I feel like Keanu Reeves has been one of those ones we had mentioned way back. Like, why is he not a part of MCU?
Well, I think that people have said, I think he was tapped to do something with DC for a while. And I kind of feel like for most actors, you don't typically get to do both. I think like Ryan Reynolds would be one because he was Green Lantern and then Deadpool. I think that's...
I feel like there's a couple out there.
Yeah, there's got to be. I'm trying to think.
Well, is it
else.
Now going to be like Jared Leto? Isn't he
because Jared Leto was Joker and now he's going to be Morbius, the Living Vampire. You've got Tom Hardy, who was Bane, and now he's Venom.
So it happens. It's happening more.
The other one that's more. Oh, Idris Elba, who was Heimdall. He's now supposedly in talks to play a character in the Suicide Squad.
Interesting.
The James Gunn one that he's been tapped to do that one. Initially,
is he taking over Will Smith's spot?
That's what people thought, but recent reports were saying that he's probably going to be Bronze Tiger.
I don't know who that is.
He's the one that has like the little hand claws, like the little hand gauntlet type things. He's like an ace martial artist.
Awesome.
Yeah. He'll be amazing in the role. And I imagine they'll center the film around him.
Gotcha.
So, and then last but not least, because this was probably my favorite bit of news when it came to Marvel this year, for this episode, but Square Enix actually revealed Avengers footage at E3 earlier today. So being Monday, the 10th. It looks phenomenal. So I've seen some mixed responses on Twitter, as always, when it comes to something Marvel. I'm super excited for this. A lot of people were concerned that it was going to put you in a new character as opposed to actually being able to play as the Avengers themselves. But it looks like with the gameplay that it's actually going to be Captain America, Iron Man, Thor, Hulk, and Black Widow. No Hawkeye, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. So it's going to be those main five. Bless you, Remy. But it seems like with that is the main part of the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically have your team of four and you kind of jump between characters to accomplish certain tasks. And then it also looks like that on the multiplayer like online gaming that you can actually build teams of four, and they're going to release different worlds and levels and characters that are not part of the initial game.
Hmm.
And they said that that content's going to be free. So it's just going to be DLC, like downloadable content that you can just plug in and play. So this may be the first game that I actually go online to play, because that would be amazing.
It's not something you do.
No, not at all.
Neither of us, we are not online gamers at all.
Like, I think the last time I played a game online was like Halo 2, so it's been a long time since I've did any of that.
Because you didn't even do the Star Wars games?
Nope, not the Star Wars games, not Call of Duty, none of those. So, I mean, I like campaign, and that's it.
Call of Duty is an online game?
Oh, it's massively online.
Oh, but can't you also play it?
Like, yeah, there's a campaign, but then there's also the online. We're basically just
and that's
around.
Bigger?
Oh, yeah, no, people mostly buy Call of Duty to go play Call of Duty online.
Oh, gosh.
I know. That's the world we live in. But yeah, that's...
Where have I been all this time?
Right?
Living under a rock.
With Square Enix, they have said they showed the trailer. They also showed some actual gameplay footage.
Yes.
Not the full-on like HUD footage, but at least, you know, the third-person perspective of like Iron Man flying across the San Francisco Bridge or Golden Gate Bridge. Hulk smashing cars, Captain America throwing a shield at what looks like Taskmaster, you know, like the little skull face.
Kind of did.
Yeah, it was interesting.
But I don't think that's who it is.
No, I don't think so either. It'll be interesting if it is, because Black Widow did say stay on task.
Oh.
So I thought that was like, oh, I wonder if she's being, you know.
Facetious?
Yeah, with that. So, but that is May 15th, 2020. So we still have almost a year until that one comes out. But
I was not expecting that date.
The teaser that we got like 2 years ago, and now we're finally getting something, I'm okay with it.
Well, yeah, I guess it's better late than never.
Truth.
But yeah, it looks good. I'm interested in playing this game for sure. From the store, spoilers, I guess. Does it look like Cap die? Is that what happens? Does Cap die?
I don't know. I mean, it's an original story, is what they've said. So it's not something that's like tied to the MCU or draws or pulled right from the comic books. But it does. But they did show a sequence where Bruce Banner is talking to Tony Stark about that he built a Terrigen core, like Terrigen power core, which Terrigen Mist, as anybody that's a fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Inhumans knows, that the Terrigen Mist are what they use to basically turn an Inhuman into the powers that they eventually gain. So it's part of their process. So I'm interested to see how that kind of ties in, but it seems like Tony built something that was not stable and that blew up. And we see a copper or brown statue or something of Captain America. So my assumption was that, he's probably dead. And they do talk about that you have four different Avengers on your team. So that would be the four that are remaining, because there's only five that they let you play as initially. So I'm going to guess that Cap's probably assumed to be dead and then pops in later.
Yeah,
I
would hope so, because I feel like that would be the big Debbie Downer of that whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really? Cap's dead. But they did say you can play as Cap, so I imagine you'll play as him for like that whole beginning of the mission before he dies, and then you get to play as the other people. But yeah, from what I got from the story was that they were set up, that Tony did make something, but they knew he made it, and they were trying to get to it, and they let it off. Like, it's not necessarily Tony's fault. Yes, he made it. He shouldn't have made it. But I think, like, the villains are the ones that set it off because they know that Tony has it.
Yeah.
And therefore, they set him up with that whole bridge thing. And then they're like, just kidding. Look at it. We just made you guys all, you know, we made you guys a villain. So now... civilians are now afraid of the Avengers.
Yeah, well, there's like a 5-year jump from the beginning of the game that it's like they call it A-Day, Avengers Day, where it's like that went wrong, a lot of people died, and then the Avengers basically disassemble for a little while, and then they come back together and then they come back together to face a new threat.
Cool, looks good. I'm interested.
Yeah, I hands down, day one, minute one.
We will be buying it. We were interested when, like you said, when they showed the promo and all it was like, Hawkeye's glasses.
And interesting, right? No Hawkeye.
Well, there's
right
no now. Hawkeye.
Yeah. Because
they did show him in the promo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they showed that and like a broken arrow or something like that. So I mean, at least, but I'm sure that was like the initial concept was like, we're going to use all of these guys. And then as they built it out, they were like, eh, maybe just
we
five.
Don't need all of them. No. Too much work. Too much voiceover money.
Right. Nice. So continuing on with E3, actually all of our Star Wars news comes from E3. But Jedi Fallen Order. So we got to see gameplay and a trailer that gives us a little bit more in depth of the idea of the storyline. This looks phenomenal. As much as I'm excited for the Avengers game, I am really excited for this. It looks like they took all the best aspects of Force Unleashed and then dialed it up to 11. Like the sequences that we saw where he's deflecting lightsaber, or he's using the lightsaber to deflect blaster bolts, flings it at a stormtrooper, uses force pull to pull a stormtrooper towards him, and then impales him on the lightsaber. Yeah. I mean, all aspects of that look super cool. The little mini droid that he can use to, like, hack systems and whatnot is adorable.
BD-1
is adorable.
Yes.
And I like the little sidekick aspect of it. I think that's really interesting.
I mean, you always need a droid sidekick because they can do everything.
Right?
They get you in places that you can't get into.
And I like this one because it's not an R2 unit. It's not, you know, a C-3 unit. Or a 3PO unit,
it's
I should say.
It's a Wally unit. Yeah, definitely what they went for.
It looks like the little scrubber guy, just with different legs.
What's his name? Is it Mo?
It looks like Mo, but with legs.
Mo. Yeah, maybe it is Mo.
Yeah.
Cute. No, I love the droid. That's usually what I love about anything Star Wars is the droids. They're my fave. Come on now. And this one has my initials. It's freaking adorable. Looks like Wally. So you can buy the game just for that little guy alone. Yay.
But for this one, is this something that entices you to want to play?
I mean, it does, but that's all these games. All of these games get me interested. The trailers get me on board, and then I will start playing them, and I'll give it a couple days, and then I'm done.
Because, like,
it's just the way my brain works.
I'm about to say, like, for you, the ones that seems to hold your attention are, like, the Lego games.
Uh-huh. Yep. I can play Lego games all day, every day. No problem.
That's so funny.
Yep. I don't know why. It's, I guess, not actually having to do things that are really important to the game.
Which is really funny because the next bit is actually Lego Star Wars.
I'll buy it.
Yep. So Jedi Fallen Order is coming out this year, November 15th. And then Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, which will combine all 9 films. So this one's not coming out till 2020. They haven't given a specific date, just 2020, which makes sense because obviously we have to have Episode 9 come out first. Uh-huh. Before they can show us what happens in a game.
Yeah, all 9. But I wonder now, with that coming out, depending on when in 2020 it's going to come out, if there's going to be any leaks from that game, because it is, you know, Rise of Skywalker has to be a part of it. So true. I hope not. I hope there's no leaks. I don't want to know anything. I just want to enjoy the film.
I imagine it'll probably be like summer of next year or something. Yeah. Like I imagine it'll be pretty far out. Which is interesting because, like, you would think they'd want to piggyback off of the success of Rise of Skywalker, having it be the conclusion of the Skywalker saga. But like you said, they're going to want to avoid spoilers.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to want to re-hype the movie. I would imagine it'll probably come out closer to, like, when it comes out on Blu-ray.
Oh, maybe.
So maybe we're looking like spring?
Springtime, hopefully. Hopefully is the latest. I don't know when there's like a schedule. You know how like movies have schedules of like when they're released, it's a good time for movies to come out. I don't know if video games have the same thing.
No,
I would imagine
sure.
The holidays are always good, but we're not going to wait a whole year for this game to come out. I can't imagine.
Is he done yet? Talking about me. Sorry, bud. So last bit of news. So with this last fun little aspect of what we got from E3, so Limited Run Games. So this isn't a company that I'm familiar with, but this is an indie publisher that's actually reviving more than a dozen old school Star Wars games. So I'm sure you guys have heard me talk about this ad nauseum for years now. Wow. X-Wing versus TIE Fighter is still one of my all-time favorite Star Wars games that's ever been released. So we're not getting X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. However, we are getting Star Wars TIE Fighter and Star Wars X-Wing. And what's kind of interesting is I sort of assumed that they were going to use like an emulator to put these out on the current gen video game systems. So like Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch. That's kind of what I was seeing happen. But what it looks like is they're actually going to release these as like collector's editions on the original platforms. So like 1991 Star Wars on the on the Nintendo and Game Boy will be available June 28th, while 1996 Star Wars Shadows of the Empire and 1999 Star Wars Episode I Racer are both coming to Windows PC and Nintendo 64. So they're actually going to be re-released cartridges and discs specifically for the platform that they were initially released on.
So with that, does that mean they're doing like a re-release of those games?
Exactly. So it's like the collector's edition where it's like all of the little bonus and whatnot.
No, I mean like the systems.
No, not re-releasing an N64. It's like, hey, hope you have an N64 or can buy one on eBay or
their
something.
Their lifespan is not that long.
Well, but this is the indie publisher. This is where they wanted to go with the rights. So it's interesting because it's not just going to be Star Wars. It's also going to be other stuff that came from LucasArts, such as the Monkey Island series. So everything from Curse of Monkey Island to Monkey Island 2 to Secret of Monkey Island to Special Edition, all of those will be released on PC. Star Wars will be released on Nintendo and Game Boy. Star Wars Bounty Hunter on PS4, which obviously we can utilize. Star Wars Dark Forces for PC. Star Wars Episode I Racer for PC and N64. Star Wars Empire Strikes Back for Nintendo and Game Boy. Star Wars Jedi Knight for PC. Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast also for PC, and then also Jedi Academy. Star Wars Racer Revenge on PS4. Star Wars Rebel Assault on PC. I'm so excited for that one. Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, PC and N64. And then the last two, Star Wars TIE Fighter and Star Wars X-Wing, both for PC. I would pretty much get all of those games. I mean, I never really... I think I played Curse of Monkey Island long, long time ago. Fun game. Not one that stuck with me for the remainder of the series, but mm-hmm. pretty much every single one of those Star Wars games is something that I would be interested in getting, especially the ones for PC, because obviously we have a PC.
I mean, that makes sense. I get that. I mean, we have old systems, but it's just a matter of do they... actually work. I mean, the Super Nintendo still works, but none of those are released for Super Nintendo. It's regular Nintendo. We don't have the regular Nintendo.
Yeah.
Or the Game Boy.
No.
Is there anything for PlayStation?
Yeah. No. PS4.
Well, PlayStation 4. Yeah. I'm saying like original PlayStation. So I don't even know if that still works.
Yeah. It looks like just Racer Revenge and Star Wars Bounty Hunter. Looks like the only ones that are coming out for PS4. And some of these have already been available that you can like download through Stream or Steam or whatever it's called.
Steam.
So some of that was already available. Like I think the Star Wars Bounty Hunter was already there. But these will be disc re-releases. So these are things that you can purchase on disc or on cartridge or whatnot.
Interesting.
So I'll definitely be picking up a bunch of those. What about you? Any of those excite you?
Nostalgia. I didn't play any of those games. No. So I would have no idea. It would all be new. But if they're older games, then probably yes. Because I feel like the older games are ones that are not necessarily easier, but I don't know.
More interesting.
More interesting for my little brain.
I think you'll thoroughly enjoy like Jedi Knight. I think you'll enjoy Dark Force. Because Dark Forces was like the first one, and then it went from Dark Forces to Jedi Knight to Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast, and then Jedi Academy, which I think Jedi Academy we actually have on for Xbox.
Yeah.
But all of those ones I would definitely be interested in getting. And then, like I said, definitely Rebel Assault, Shadows of the Empire, TIE Fighter, and X-Wing.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I really wish they were doing X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, though. That was my favorite one out of all
of
them.
I know you've talked about it multiple times. Freaking good.
Anyways, so yeah, so it looks like the first couple of releases are gonna hit later this month, so June 28th.
Cool. That's pretty quick.
Yeah, I know, right? Quick turnaround time after the announcement. So that is all that we have for the news. Anything else that you wanted to add?
No, not at the moment.
All right, perfect. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back with some shout-outs.
Fan flag fly engaged.
All right, it's time for shout-outs.
Shout-outs!
And since we talked about Onward, let's see what you guys had to say about Onward. We had posted the poster for it when they released the trailer, but we didn't get to talk about it much. So let's see. Gabe Perez, 822, says, OMG, say no more Chris Pratt and Tom Holland. Yes, please. The animation is adorable. And Wag Fam Bam, 3115, says, I'd love to be a toy sculptor or designer for stuff like this. Hey, set those dreams high and go after them, dude.
Uh-huh.
And the Punko Head said, I'm so ready for this. And agreed with all of those because it's Pixar, like we said. You don't have to show us anything. Just tell us you're giving us a new movie. Give us a date. We'll be there the night before.
Yeah, with bells on.
Mm-hmm. anything from you over there?
So I actually have some Twitter shout outs, which I feel like we almost never
do. We really should branch out, but we just don't.
No, I think we just do a lot of it through Instagram.
Yes.
But because I've been more active on Twitter, mostly my Twitter as opposed to like the Hilt Radio Twitter, but still my Twitter.
You're so cool.
Steven Irizarry, at Steven_Matthew. I had said, totally worth the wait. Avengers looks like they're taking it to a whole new level, especially if they're going to be introducing new worlds and characters constantly through DLC. May 15th can't come soon enough. And he responded, really excited for it. Already seeing so much hate about it, though. No one is ever satisfied.
No.
And it's a bummer because it's so true.
It's
so
accurate.
True.
It's, we finally get something and we get angry about it when it's not exactly what we envision. It's like, well, then make your own. Okay? You put out the books, figure it out, and make your own.
And then I had been, because we were on our little X-Men animated series kick, so I had been tweeting out quotes like, Master Mold's mutants are humans, therefore humans must be protected from themselves. Mm-hmm. My friend Caleb Coy at Caleb Micah said, I was just thinking about rewatching that, have had the theme in my head for days. And Caleb actually co-hosts a podcast called Never Heard of It. And
I never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. him and our other friend Michael Fite, they actually co-host it, and they watch old movies, or not even just old movies, but just weird, obscure movies that people have never heard of it. Hence the name.
I'm guessing they've heard about a little Schultz show in the back in the day called I Can't Believe You Haven't Seen That.
Yeah, but with that one is more about like shows that are like, I can't believe you haven't seen that. Whereas with their show is more of like the, I don't even know what you're talking about. I didn't know that movie.
But I have a feeling they've had some motivation behind this podcast of theirs being from the same city and all.
But I wanted to give his show a shout out as well.
Cool.
So if you guys want
to take
the time
to
check out Never Heard of It podcast.
Do you know if it's on iTunes or not?
Yep. iTunes, Stitcher, all your preferred
podcast
listening services.
Cool.
So, but yeah, those were my shouts.
Awesome. We'll leave it pretty short, but yeah. Oh, while there's people shouting out about Galaxy's Edge on the post that you were posting through Hilt Radio, and a lot of people were raving about it just from the photos alone. I know I had a ton of people who were following along in my stories as I was there because they couldn't be there that first day, and they all had said they're living through our post. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, I mean, I know not everybody gets to do these things, and not everybody knows when things like this go, you know, are on sale or are available to public to do this. But we are those weirdo people that try to make it when we can, when we can afford it, and when it just works out for our schedules. And when we can, we only hope that it helps. And sometimes I always worry about overposting because I feel like that could be a thing where it's kind of annoying to people.
And like, you gave me too much.
And then I realize, like, you know what? Don't follow me or just swipe through my highlight. You don't have to keep going through every single one. You don't got to do it. I swipe through the ones I don't want to look through all the time.
This is true.
It's what I do. So I'm sure a ton of people do that for me as well. But everything was pretty positive. They were all raving about that through videos and pictures that it looks breathtaking and amazing, and they can't wait to be able to go once it opens. So I think those crowds are just not going to go anywhere because these are coming from people who don't care about Disneyland.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is happening from somebody who spends their time partying and would rather be at the bar is deciding to make a trip to Disneyland instead, I think we got some big problems on our hands for us Disney goers all the time.
True. But I think at that point they go once and go, cool, seen it. And it's not one of those like, I'm going to be back constantly.
But it's also such a positive when, you know, Disney can put together something like Galaxy's Edge and bring out people who normally wouldn't come out to something this. I think it's kind of the same thing with like Harry Potter World. Like think about all those Harry Potter fans that were like, we have a world now. We don't care about amusement parks, but we have a world. So let's go.
I forgot who it was, but somebody mentioned the fact that that's what frustrates them about Galaxy's Edge because the Wizarding World of Harry Potter at Universal had no issues being able to let people buy robes and wands and everything.
Yeah,
to have it feel more immersed in that universe.
But the thing is, it's not a Galaxy's Edge thing. This has always been a Disney thing. Like,
they never
were okay with costumes if you're over 14. And I will always get that because when you are there and you're meeting people like the princesses just walking through, Moana's just walking through, you want them to be legit and accurate and to Disney standards, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which even I have to admit that some Star Wars fans don't have the best etiquette. And Disney fans, too. Everyone. We don't all say the greatest things. And when you're interacting with a child and they think that you work for Disney, that's their experience. That's
not
a taste
even that you
in their
work
mouth.
For it, that you are that character.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that you leave the...
So,
you,
I
you
get
only
it.
Get first one chance to make a first impression, right? So making sure that that child leaves with the full belief that you are the character that you are portraying. And I think that... That takes practice. That takes training. That's not something that just, oh, I'm going to throw on a costume and I'll be able to do it. It's, these kids ask particular questions. I always think back to that commercial that they did where it was a little girl that was deaf.
Oh, yeah. The sign.
Yeah. And like
Minnie
the cast
Mouse
member
and,
was
or
like,
Tinker Bell
it was Tinkerbell. And they were like, oh, I'm learning sign language. And like the shock and awe on that little girl's face just to be like, oh, I can communicate with these characters. And like, you could tell the parents, like it meant the world to the parents.
Oh, yeah.
Little things like that. That's what I think separates Disney from like Universal and other things. So I'm not saying I don't understand people's complaints.
Right.
But at the same time, it's like, I want to be immersed in that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and whatnot, but I still want to feel like I'm a guest there. I don't want to feel like I'm a denizen of Batu, of the Black Spire Outpost, you know? If I want to feel that way, I'll go get a job at Disney, and then I can be a cast member.
Be them. Which you probably could. You probably could easily. I mean, if you're willing to shave your beard, cover up the tattoos, pretend like they never happened.
Well, they all had long sleeves. Like, all of the Batu citizens all had long
sleeves. Yeah, but even to apply, you can't have tattoos.
Oh, yeah. No, I go to every interview with long sleeves.
No, I know that, but it's very much a Disney thing. It's like, very well-manicured beard, but really, just don't. Just don't have a beard. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why not?
My face looks so much better with a beard.
And it's so nice and manicured. Like, I know. But there's like a length or something that like you just can't have. I'm like, that's just so nuts, as long as they keep it clean. But Disney's got rules for a reason, guys. Right. And the costuming is still one of those that is not going to go away anytime soon, even with Galaxy's Edge. Even though it is a bummer that we don't get to go be Jedi in Batu, it's still one of those things where at least it made it hard on opening day. I can't even lie. With the Disney bounds that they were allowing in there. Because a lot of them were very close to costume and close to screen accurate that it was like, I think you work, nope, you don't work here. You don't have a name tag. You don't work here. It was hard to tell people apart. So I can get why Disney doesn't want that to happen because on our first day alone, I was like, there's a lot of people dressed up here and I don't know which one is actually a cast member that I can ask a question to. And I don't want to just ask any random Joe.
True.
So I get it, Disney. Keep doing you.
I get you. Perfect. I think that's all we had, right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Well, we appreciate you guys joining us for another episode of Hilt Radio. Bima, where can they find you?
I'm at Citizen of Disney.
You can find me at Liam Bright. You can also follow the show at Hilt Radio, H-Y-L-T Radio on Twitter and Instagram. Obviously, you know, you can follow, like we said, our individual accounts. We post, we tweet, we have fun, interact with us. I mean, you'll get a shout out. Shout out!
We laugh, we schmooze, we dance.
This is true. I do the same with my pants.
What does he say? I don't know. That was a different quote. But
no, I know, but I popped in
was
I just washed my hands.
Spider.
That's why they're wet. No other reason.
No other reason. Anywho, Spider Pam jokes there, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Hopefully, we have even more news and more excitement coming at you guys. We'll probably do another Disney trip towards the end of the month. So if there's anything in particular you guys want to know more about, let us know. And we will definitely check it out when we are down in Disney.
We might have a Star Wars Galaxy's Edge giveaway coming up soon as well. So keep a lookout for that on the social medias or listen into the show when we decide to announce it.
But that's all we got for you guys. We will catch you on the next episode. But as always, until then, try
to
make the
world
a better
place.
Need even more Disney, Marvel, and Star Wars in your life? Be sure to visit our website at HiltRadio.com for more magic like our blogs, videos, merch, and access to our archive of episodes. That's HYLTRadio.com. See you real soon.